And I praise the Lord for the truth of that song there. Hebrews chapter 4, if you will. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14 through 16 is what we're going to be reading here. And we're going to be speaking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this morning. Amen. No greater topic to speak about, no greater person to speak about than our Lord and Savior. And Hebrews chapter 4, and starting in verse 14 is where we're going to be here, and reading through verse 16. And I have enjoyed the study through the book of Hebrews. Hopefully you have as well. And we've got a little ways to go here, but looking forward to studying about Christ this morning. Notice Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14 through 16. The Bible says this: "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." You know, we could read those verses and close in prayer and have an altar call right after that. Amen. Because the truth of the matter is, that's who our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is. We're going to discuss a lot about Christ today, but notice we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. When you go through pain, guess what? The Lord and Savior Jesus Christ knows where we are, knows what we go through. He gave Himself for us. Let's open in a word of prayer, and then we will get into the message this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You today, and Lord, we thank You so much, Lord, for opportunity we have to hear from Your Word. Lord, I pray that You'd speak to us. I pray that the Holy Spirit would convict our hearts today. Lord, I pray we'd draw closer to You. I pray that I would be a vessel that You can use this morning. Lord, guide and direct my thoughts and my words, and I pray that if there's anyone here or on the live stream that does not know You as their personal Savior, they'd come to know You today. But Lord, I pray as we study about You, Lord, that Lord, we would just fall in love with You even deeper than we already are. Lord, I pray that it would be that love that's beyond compare. Lord, I thank You for sending Your Son to die on the cross for us. Lord, I ask all of these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, as we've been going through this study of Hebrews here, we've seen many things about Christ. In the first couple of chapters, we saw that Christ was superior. We saw He was superior to the angels. We've seen that He was superior to Moses and also Joshua. But here at the end of chapter 4, after everything that we've talked about, everything that has been said about Christ, we see that the penman takes it a step further than just saying that Christ was better than the angels, or that He was better than some great prophet or something like that. No, he begins to speak about Christ being greater than someone that was held in the highest regard in the Jewish culture, and still is held in the highest regard in the Jewish culture. That's the high priest. And the penman here, notice, he says here, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest," and then notice who he says that is. He says it's Jesus, the Son of God. Notice, he says, we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Well, who's he referring to there? He's speaking to the human high priest, the ones who would go into the Holy of Holies once a year and sprinkle blood on the mercy seat there to atone for the sins of the nation of Israel. Notice, the penman here, he's making it very clear, I'm not talking about some man that had to go into the Holy of Holies. He said, I'm speaking about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's who I'm talking about here this morning. This priest was looked up to and held to a high standard by God and man here. He begins to speak of the office of the priest, but more importantly, he begins to speak of our great high priest. Not just some man, but our Lord and Savior. And as we finish up chapter 4, we see that Christ is superior than the best of the best. Notice, we see here that Christ was superior than the most religious man that Israel knew, the high priest. The high priest was one who would go into the Holy of Holies, and he had to understand that he had to confess all of his sins unto God before he stepped foot in there. or he would be struck dead immediately. He had to be a holy person, we would say. He had to be a very spiritual man. But the Bible says here, the high priest that we have, if you trusted Christ as your Savior today, guess what? He's greater than that man. Because he's greater than every man. He's the Son of God. He's the one who came and he died for us. That's what we're going to talk about today. So I'd like to preach you a message that I have entitled this, Christ, the greatest high priest. The greatest. Not we're just greater than some. No, the greatest high priest, the high priest for those of us as believers. And I want you to note, first of all, this morning, notice the place of our great high priest. Notice verse 14, if you will, says this in the Bible, saying then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Now notice there, he says, seeing that we have a great high priest, Jesus, the Son of God. Would to God that we as believers would never lose sight of the one who died for us. And the Apostle Paul here, the penman of Hebrews, who I believe was the Apostle Paul by many reasons there. But notice this man here. He's telling them, he's speaking to these Hebrew believers here. And these men, though they know that Christ was a great man, and the Jews, they gave great regard to angels, and they came to the conclusion that Christ is greater than them. They gave great regard to the prophets, and they came to the conclusion through the teaching of God, God's word, that Christ is greater than them. And now they're hearing something that maybe they've never heard before. Right. Now they're hearing something that is, wait a second. Yeah. So you're telling me that the man that has to go and sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat, the man that has to atone for my sins, this Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that you're talking about, he's greater than him? Think about it for a moment. In their mind, that was the greatest man that they knew. But this penman here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is telling them, yes, Christ is greater than that man. Because that man is born in sin like the rest of us. He can be saved by grace as well, amen, just like the rest of us. But the truth of the matter is, Christ is our great high priest. And notice here, the place of our great high priest. So the high priest in the land of Israel, these were the ones who would carry out the sacrifices, and they would carry out the daily administration in the tabernacle with the assistance of the priests as well. But the high priest was there. There was a certain job that the priests would do, and the slaying of the animals and those types of things. And then the high priest had some jobs to do. But the main job that the high priest would do was going before all Almighty God for the sins of the nation of Israel. That's what he would do. Go into the Holy of Holies and the tabernacle there. He would do that once a year, and the priest would follow very strict guidelines, or he would be struck dead by the presence of Almighty God. The high priest, under the law, once a year went out of the people's sight, went within the veil into the holiest of holies where the presence of God was, and he went there for the purpose of interceding for the people, being a representative of the sinful nation of Israel. That's why he was there, because that's what God wanted. But as we look at this passage this morning and we read about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when it says here in verse 14, a great high priest, notice Jesus the Son of God, we see that he has passed into the heavens. We see that this high priest that we have, notice it doesn't say we had a great high priest, but he has now passed into heaven. In the nation of Israel, of course, the high priest would not live forever. The high priest had a lifespan like everyone else. And the high priest, if the high priest passed away, then of course there would have to be another high priest that was in that lineage that would have to step up, and that would have to fill that role there, because that high priest, he has now passed into the next life. But it says here It doesn't say that we had a great high priest that has passed into heaven. It says we have a great high priest that has passed into heaven. Praise the Lord, we do not have to worry about some man going to God and beseeching God on our behalf here on earth, because as great and righteous as the high priest had to be to go before God for the people, the Bible says that our righteousness, and yes, even the righteousness of the great high priest, even his righteousness was filthy rags. We don't need a man to go before God for us. It doesn't matter what false religion teaches you or anything like that. There's not some man that you have to go to and confess your sins before him or anything like that. No, we are to come before Lord God Almighty, because he is our great high priest. He died on the cross. He said, "It is finished." The veil was rent in twain. And that was a picture of the access that we have now between us and God, simply because of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his death on the cross of Calvary. Simply because of that, he is our great high priest. There was only one who could go behind that veil. But Christ said this, "I'm going to do away with the veil." Because everyone can come to God through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Everyone. Doesn't matter who they are. The Bible declares that for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. It doesn't say the righteousness of God in a high priest down here on earth. That's not what it says. The righteousness of God in Christ. Think about it for a moment. When a person is saved, no matter what they've done in their life, no matter what's behind them or any crimes they've committed or the wicked things that have happened, and can I say this? Each and every one of us were guilty of all of those things. But it doesn't matter what has happened. You can come through to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he has enough power in one drop of blood to forgive you of your sins. And you can come before God. No one is too far to be saved. No one. You still have breath in your lungs, you can still cry out to God. It says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Praise the Lord. Why can we call upon the name of the Lord? Because he is the great high priest for us. We don't have to go to anyone else. We can just go to Christ. It's not through our righteousness. Salvation is not through our good works. It's not by just turning over a new leaf or something like that. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. It's not through our works. It's through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And you say, well, how do we know that Christ isn't still working today for our sins that are going on? Because Christ, when he was on the cross of Calvary, he said this, "It is finished." The work was done. The work that he's doing now, we're going to get into this here in a little while, but the work that he's doing now is he intercedes for us before God. He doesn't have to come and die again or shed more blood for us or anything like that. He doesn't have to do those things, because he did that once and for all, and praise the Lord, he died on the cross of Calvary. He shed his blood for us. He was placed in the borrowed tomb, and then he arose 3 days later, and this great high priest that we have, he has passed into the heavens, and he's interceding for me and you. For us, the wicked sinners that we are, notice I'm pointing to myself here, and each and every one of us could do that, because it doesn't matter how good of people we think we are, our righteousness is as filthy rags. But we are seen, if we're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, then we are, if we're saved by Christ, we are seen in the righteousness of Christ through the eyes of God. That's how he sees us. Praise the Lord for that. The nation of Israel had a man who would go before God for them to sprinkle blood on the mercy seat to atone for the sins of the nation. We have a greater high priest, amen, the greatest high priest, who does not have to go behind some veil to be with the Lord. Notice, because the Bible says that he is seated at the right hand of the Father. Doesn't have to go behind some veil and hope that he's confessed all of his sins and made sure that there was the sacrifice that was sacrificed for his sins and all of that. And he doesn't have to walk in there wondering if he's going to get struck dead by the glory of God. No, the great high priest that we have, he is seated at the right hand of God. And he's interceding for us. Seated right there. You know, I course, my imagination, it runs wild at times. And I try to picture what it's going to be like seeing the Godhead when we get to heaven. And seeing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one who came and died for me and you, seated at the right hand of God. And knowing that while He was seated there, He wasn't up there looking down upon us in some condescending way. Well, look at the sin that they're doing. Good for nothing people. No. Instead, He's interceding for us. He's saying, I died for them. I want them to know about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want them to know exactly what I did for them. And as God looks down and He sees His children, the ones that have trusted Christ as His personal Savior, here's what He sees. The pureness of Christ shed about our lives. That's what He sees. Why? Because of the place of our great high priest. He's there for me and you. The great high priest that I am describing this morning is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one who does not have to go on the mercy seat and behind some veil and all of that. No, because He shed His pure blood on the cross of Calvary. He does not have to worry about making his sins right before He goes before God, because He was and is and always will be sinless. He was the spotless Lamb of God, and He died and He shed His blood for you and me today. Each and every one of us. This great high priest is the Lord and Savior, the one who came and died to take away the sins of the world. He did not come to condemn the law. The Bible says that He came to fulfill the law, and He is in His place. It's the very fulfillment of the law. He paid for our sins, as we sing, not in part, but the whole. Amen. He paid for all of them. Anything that we've ever done wrong or we ever will do is paid for. Right. Completely paid for. Praise the Lord for that. You know, as we go on in that song, not in part, but the whole, it says this: my sin is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Why do we not bear our sin? Because of the place of our great high priest. He's bearing it Himself. He already bore our sins on the cross. And praise the Lord, our sins can be cast upon Christ, and He has atoned for all of those things. And because of that, we can sing, "It is well with my soul." Amen? If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, please accept Him today. Do not allow one more day or one more moment to go by not knowing where you will spend eternity. Christ is the mediator between man and God. Christ is the one with the hand in God's hand. I want you to picture this for a moment for illustration's sake. I want you to picture here you've got God who is unreachable by man, and you've got man who is down here in this sinful state, and you've got this the unrighteousness of man and the righteousness of God, and then you've got the Lord Jesus Christ that reaches in the middle, and He grabs the hand of man and He grabs the hand of God, and therefore we have connection to God Almighty simply through the hands of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The nail-scarred hands. He's interceding for us before His Father. One mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. He's between us and God, and when God looks at us, He sees the righteousness of Christ. That should be enough to excite us. Amen. Knowing that God does not see us for who we are once we're saved. He sees us as who His Son is. As we study about the Messiah, we see that He had to come from the tribe of Judah, not the Levitical tribe, and which is where the priest would come from. Christ came in the kingly tribe. Christ came, He did not come as a priest. Notice He came and they called Him a prophet. He is in heaven as a priest today, but He's going to reign as a king forevermore. Amen. That's how the Lord Jesus Christ came. He came to die upon Calvary for me and you. Now He's the priest and He's interceding for you and me. But praise the Lord, He's coming as a king. You know, when he comes as a king, if you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior, you know who's going to be right by his side? We are. Together. Now, he's not going to need our help. He's going to take care of everything himself. Amen. But we'll be there because he is our great high priest. Notice not only the place of our great high priest, notice second of all, the person of our great high priest. Notice here in verse 14, the Bible says this, seeing that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Notice here the person of our great high priest. As we read this passage here this morning, we know that this passage is speaking of course, no other than the Lord Jesus Christ. It mentions his name there. Praise the Lord for that. Jesus, the Son of God. He was the one who came to take away the sins of the world. And we see there in verse 14 that it's talking about Christ. But notice, in the Old Testament, the high priest had to be in the lineage of Aaron. Now, as we have been going through the study of Exodus, we have been seeing some things about Aaron that are not good things. Amen. We're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. But notice, that's where the priests were coming from there. But we see here, when the Lord Jesus Christ came, he fulfilled the law, and it was no longer through a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl to get to heaven. It wasn't through any of those things. It was through Christ. God had very specific instructions as he went through the Old Testament. This is the man, this is the lineage, this is where they had to come from in order to be the high priest, and if they went against God's law, they would be struck dead immediately. We see that as we go throughout the Word of God. But when Christ came, he did away with those things. He said, and he's fulfilled those things. He became the high priest. He became that. It's only through Christ. It's not through Mary, the mother of Jesus, as great of a woman as she was. She cannot save us from our sins. She cannot intercede for us. It's not through Joseph Smith Jr., who claims to have seen an angel who delivered him some golden plates and gave him the job to fix the scripture, so to speak. It's funny that he was the only one that was able to see those things there. It's not through him, though the many churches say that it was. You know, it's not through Charles Taze Russell, who the Jehovah's Witness believe. It's not through Muhammad, like the Muslims believe. And it's not through our good works, like many people believe. It's only through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, through the person and the work of Christ. That's the only way that we can get to heaven. That's the only way that we can have our eternity settled. That's the only way to understand that we do not have to go to a place called hell. There is a heaven. There is a hell. Hell is a place of torment. It is a place of pain. It's a place of torture. It's a place of darkness. It's a place in which everyone is screaming uncontrollably because of the everlasting pain of through the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because he is our great high priest. You don't have to go to hell for all eternity. You don't have to go there. You can go to heaven, which is quite the opposite of hell. Quite the opposite. As we read about heaven, our human minds cannot comprehend what's going to be there. It's going to be beautiful, a place, notice, where there's no more tears, no sorrow, no pain, no sickness, no sinful flesh to drag around with us. They'll all be gone. And that's only through Christ. It's the only way to heaven. It doesn't matter how nice of a person that a person may seem to be or how welcome they make you feel. If they told you that you can get to heaven in any way besides trusting in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter who they are. If they've told you there's any other way, they're lying to you. They're deceiving you. If you follow their leading, you'll be in hellfire for all eternity. If you're unsaved, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today. You know, each and every one of us, there's people that we're praying for to be saved. Maybe family members and friends and co-workers and ones like that. we're not going to see them saved if we're not, first of all, of course, praying that God would save their souls, and second of all, praying that God would help us to be the witness that we are to be to them. Many times we do something like this: Lord, save my family members, or you fill in the blank, whoever it may be. Lord, I pray that they would get saved before it's too late. And we go and we spend hours upon hours with them, and not one time do we mention eternity. Now, one time do we mention what the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, one time do we think to ourselves, you know what, this would be a good opportunity to speak to them. Not one time. And here's why we keep from saying something and being a witness. Because we say this: they probably don't want to hear it. Picture them in the place of the rich man in hell, as he looked up and he saw Lazarus. Picture them there, and the torment that he said that he was in. He said, "For I am tormented in this flame." When we see our loved ones there, will it finally occur to us that it didn't matter whether they wanted to hear the gospel here on earth or not, our job was to give it to them? The truth of the matter is, there's many believers who shy away from that responsibility. We have a great high priest who has died for us and is interceding for us. Let's tell others about him so that they can trust in him before it's too late. We don't want to see anyone go to hell. But every single day, there's people going into the terrible place called hell. Some of them rejected Christ when the gospel was given. Some of them may not have had a clear gospel testimony because a believer refused to give it to them. Lord, help us. This past week, I took the young people up to Mount Zion Baptist Church to their teen rally that they had. And I was walking around the property there with Pastor Chris Starr, and I walked past this board that they have in the back. And here's what that board said: who is going to heaven because you took the time to tell them how to be saved? Think about that. The flip side of that: who is not on their way to heaven because we did not take the time? We have a great high priest, and each and every one of us, and rightfully so, we would say, praise the Lord that Christ has died for us. Praise the Lord for the place and for the person of our great high priest. Praise the Lord for the opportunity that we have to be saved. But the greatest way to praise the Lord for our salvation is to tell someone else so that they can trust Christ. Lord, help us. If you're unsaved here today, then believe on the Lord today. If you're saved, be happy that you know who Jesus is, that you've placed your trust in the person and the work of our great high priest, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's allow the joy from that to run over and to allow it to burden us for the lost. We have a great high priest who's in heaven at the right hand of God for us. Notice, this morning we saw the place of the great high priest. Notice, second of all, we see the person of our great high priest. Notice, lastly here, the profession of our great high priest. Notice here in verse 15 and 16, the Bible says this: "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Notice there the profession of our great high priest. During the 17th century, Oliver Cromwell, the Lord Protector of England, sentenced a soldier to be shot for his crimes. The execution was to take place at the ringing of the evening curfew bell. However, when it came time, the bell did not sound. Soldier's fiance had climbed up into the belfry and clung to the great clapper of the bell to prevent it from striking. When she was summoned by Cromwell to account for her actions, she wept as she showed him her bruise and her bleeding hands. Cromwell's heart was touched, and he said, "Your fiancé shall live because of your sacrifice. Curfew shall not ring tonight." Think about this story that we just heard, and think about it in the view of what Christ did for us. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. It's appointed unto man once to die. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What does that mean? Well, that means that because we're sinners, we're on our way to hell without our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're going to die and go to hell when the curfew bell rings. But just as this soldier's fiance climbed up there and she clung on to that, and it bruised her hands, and her hands were bleeding, and all of that, she did that to save the life of one person she loved. Just as we were on our way to hell, our great high priest came, and he shed his blood for us. And it was more than just his hands that were bruised and battered. It was his whole body. Could not even recognize who he was. That's how much he suffered for us. Why? Because he loved us. Think about this here. The Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father and is waiting for the time to come and call His children home. But just because He is in heaven now, that does not mean that He has ceased to intercede for us. But quite the contrary. Remember, the Jewish high priest, they could only go before God once a year to atone for the sins of the people. But the greatest high priest, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is with the Father interceding for us. And He doesn't do that just once a year. He does that for us every moment of every day. He's interceding for us. We see that He cares for us. Verse 15, it says this: "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Notice here, He robed Himself in flesh. He lived as a man for 33 years, and the Bible says that He was in every way tempted as we are. He knows exactly what we go through. He knows what tears are. He knows what sorrow is. He knows what pain is. He knows all of those things. I think of the verse that we read in the Bible, the shortest verse in the Bible, it says, "Jesus wept." Many times we go through things that it's hard to go through, the loss of a loved one or something like that, a tragedy in our life. And we think to ourselves, "This is more than I can bear." You know, we're not going through that alone, because our Lord and Savior wept. He knows what sorrow is. He knows what pain is. He knows those things because he came and He robed Himself in flesh and lived among men. It says that this is not someone who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows what our pain is. He knows that. Our great high priest, He knows those things. And the only way that He is qualified to be our great high priest is because of what we see at the end of verse 15. Notice, it says there, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are." But notice it says, "yet without sin." He can intercede for us between man and God because He was perfect. Perfect. He went through pain. He went through struggles. He went through sorrows and all of those things. He was tempted in every way like we are. You ever gone through something and says, "Well, I don't think anybody's ever gone through something this bad"? The Lord Jesus Christ has. Because it says that He was tempted in every way like we are, yet without sin. The Bible declares that death passed upon all men, and death by sin. There are people in this world. There is ones who claim to be the ones who can go before man for God. And the truth of the matter is, we can all go boldly into the throne of grace. We read that here this morning. But notice, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because He was without sin, He is the representative of us before God, because He has lived where we live. He's been there. There are priests and preachers and pastors who preach and act like they're the mediator between people and God. But in many of their lives, you're going to find sexual sins, molestation, adultery, fornication, and all kinds of other sins you're going to find in their lives. They cannot be the mediator between God and man because they're sinners just like we are. But we've got a priest who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He was in every way tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Do not trust man to go before God for you. Trust Christ. Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He conquered death, hell, and the grave. He lived a sinless life so that He could be the ultimate sacrifice for us, so that He could be our mediator. Let's take comfort in the fact that Christ was tempted as we. He knows what pain feels like. He knows what it feels like to lose loved ones. He knows what it feels like to be betrayed. He knows what it feels like to have ones walk away from you. He knows what it feels like to have one of your closest followers come up and betray you with a kiss. He knows that. And we should take comfort in the fact, we as believers today, take comfort in the fact that He does know those things. Because when we're at our lowest point, we can understand that the God of heaven has been there. The God of heaven knows our pain. He cares for us. Second of all, under the profession of our great high priest, not only does He care for us, but notice also, He listens to and answers our prayers. Notice here in verse 16, it says this, "Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." You know, I've mentioned it many times, but I love seeing the words wherefore and therefore. I love seeing those in Scripture. Because it's a word that's meant to remind us of what we just learned. And notice here, because Christ is the great high priest, because of His place, because of His person, because of His profession, because of everything that we've learned, notice, because of who Christ is, we can come boldly into the throne of grace. It, in no part of this verse does it say this, because of the good life that you've lived, because you've been such a great little Christian, you can come into the throne of grace. That's not what it says. Notice, it says, let us therefore, because of who Christ is, we as believers have the responsibility and the opportunity to come boldly to the throne of grace, coming before God. It's a verse that should encourage every one of us to pray more than we do and pray with more boldness than we currently do, not because of who we are or how great our trial is, not even because of how much emotional, physical, or mental pain that we're in, but we should come and we should pray more boldly and come before the throne of grace with more boldness, not because of anything on this earth, but because of what Christ did for us. We can come boldly because of who He is. We have no excuses that will hold water for not praying. If we fail to pray, it's because of the hardness of our own hearts, not because of the absence of our Lord's listening ear. The truth of the matter is, ones who neglect to pray, they're neglecting more than that in their spiritual life. Lord, help us. We're told to become or to come boldly, and oftentimes we think of boldness as something that can be characterized as being rude or unloving or unkind, but that's not what this word means here. It doesn't mean to come before God in our self-righteousness saying, well, I deserve to come before God. That's not what this verse is talking about here this morning, because the truth of the matter is what we deserve is death and hell for all eternity, but because of what Christ did, we have the opportunity to come boldly before the throne of grace. And notice what this word boldly here is speaking of. It means to come before the Lord openly and plainly. That's what it means. Can I tell you this? There's no other way to come before God because He sees every part of our lives. There's nothing hidden from the eyes of God. Nothing at all. And we're going to come boldly before Him. Let's tell Him everything. He knows everything already. Prayer is never informing God of something He doesn't know. It's simply humbling ourselves enough to admit our failures and being humble enough to ask the Lord for help. Lord, help us. I believe that the lack of prayer in the life of a believer stems from the lack of humility. I truthfully believe that. Because if we are so self-righteous and we're unwilling to ask God for help, then shame on us. Notice where Christ is listening from here in verse 16. Notice it says the throne of grace. Notice we're not coming to a place of stern justice or something of that matter. We do not serve. We do serve a just God. He cares for us. But we can come openly and plainly before the throne of grace of God because of the throne and because of who is sitting upon that throne. Notice it doesn't say, "Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of judgment." That's not what it says. It reminds us that we're only in this place that we're in because of the grace of God. That's the only reason we can come before God. Notice what we receive by coming before our great high priest. Here in verse 16, it says, Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Notice here, we obtain mercy and find grace. You know, it doesn't say that maybe we'll find grace or mercy. It doesn't say, most likely if you come before God, if you're a child of God and you come before Him boldly, most likely He's going to give you grace. That's not what it says. It says that we may obtain mercy. That is saying that when we come before God, we are coming to obtain mercy and grace. This mercy and grace is unlike anything that we can find through people or things in this earth. This can only be found through our great high priest. That's where the mercy and grace comes from. And we can have it because of the profession of our great high priest. Notice we find those things in time of need. Every single one of us have times of need. Some are going through times of need now, and some it was a time of need yesterday, and I can guarantee you this, if you're not going through a time of need today, you're going to go through a time of need tomorrow. It's going to happen. In this world you shall have tribulations, but the Bible says, but be of good cheer, amen. Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said, for I have overcome the world. We all have times of need, each and every one of us, whatever it may be. It may be an emotional need or physical or financial or whatever else it may be, but we have times of need. But the Bible declares that because of who our great high priest is, because of where he is, because of how he cares for us, he gives us grace and mercy in the time of need. It's not something that we can manufacture. It's not something that we can keep hidden from God. He knows our needs. And by the authority of the Word of God, I can say with a certainty that if we draw nigh unto God, He will draw nigh unto us. If we come boldly before Him, He will give us grace and mercy. And it may not be the answer that we're looking for. But the answer of God is always the answer that we need. Always. Nevertheless, the Word of God says that my grace is sufficient for thee and my strength is made perfect in weakness. Notice here he says that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help. It doesn't say get rid of the need. That's not what it says. It says it'll help us in the time of need. I think each and every one of us, we've gone through some things, and we could say with a certainty, I could not have gone through that without God. Couldn't have done it. I was in a time of need, and I needed God's help. I've mentioned before, as we were going through the complications that we had with Paisley, as she was in the womb, and then right after she was born, and the NICU, and the brain surgeries, and all of those things that she's had, there were things that we went through that we could not have gone through without God. And there were so many times when people would call from church or friends or family members, whatever it may be, they would call. And many times I can remember saying something along these lines. I don't know how people go through these things without God. We were in a hospital room with a baby. Her name was Diamond. I can remember seeing her there. And she was born with a very, very small heart. I can remember being there, and Diamond was in this box over here, the incubator, if you will. Paisley was over here. And I can remember the parents of Diamond would be in and out, tried to be a witness to him and those things. Of course, a very delicate situation there. But I can remember them coming in and out, and we would see the doctors come in and run tests and those things. But I can remember coming into the room one day and seeing the parents crying, hearing that their daughter had just passed away. And I'm thinking to myself, my baby girl is laying here. We don't know what the future holds for. We have no idea. But we have a Lord and Savior that's going to help us in time of need. And I can remember thinking to myself so many times, seeing these different ones in the hospital rooms there, seeing these children literally fighting for their lives, and thinking to myself, how are their parents getting through this without God? I just don't understand it. But yet so many times, we as believers go through needs, and the last thing we do is pray. The very last thing we do. We try to find all kinds of ways to get through the need without God. And then when we finally come before God, we realize He had the grace to help us in time of need the whole time. It wasn't because He was unwilling to give the grace, it's because we were not humble enough to ask for the grace from our great high priest. Church, that's who our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is. He is the greatest high priest. Let's come before Him. Let's realize who He is and what His job is for us. He came and He died for us. He's there to intercede for us. He can give you a home in heaven if you're not saved today.